Welcome back, friends. We're talking about the fatherhood of God revealed by the Son, Jesus Christ, through the operation of the Holy Spirit. And we talked about how oftentimes, instead of having the fatherhood of God project down onto our own human fathers, we take whatever deficiencies we see or think we see and project them up onto God the Father. And I propose at least two solutions to them. One is that man needs to elevate his understanding to that revealed by Jesus through the operation of the Holy Spirit. We need to renew our minds with humility, trust, love, prayer, which causes man, causes me, causes each of us to turn to the true source of modeling, right? We want to model against the true source. When we're trying to design something or learn something, we really want to look at what is the best and try and imitate that. And so the only way to understand who the Father is and our only sure God is Jesus. So we need to turn to him. That goes back to the formation of the intellect. We need to learn in a proper way. We need to have a belief in him, a trust in him, and slowly walk behind him and learn about the Father in that way.
Yeah, I mean, it just goes back to Saint Jerome, you know, ignorance of scripture is ignorance of Christ.
So that is correct. Now, my second solution is that some who are listening may have had a difficult experience with their own father. So many, I'm sorry to say, you know, with marriage held in such poor esteem, in courtship, and the gift of children, there is, I think, a true gap in so many people's hearts for a father. And the only way through that, and I think, is to be emotionally healed of it. I do have a talk on emotional healing, which is, from what I understand about what I've seen, it's pretty effective at dealing with a whole host of emotion types of healings. But in particular, we're talking now about parental healing. And that healing of the soul, recognizing, you know, that there was a legitimate hurt being healed, sets the stage for forgiveness. It sets the stage for forgiveness, without which that individual will be forever in bondage. If you ever hear about people needing to forgive, it seems pretty glib at times. You need to forgive your enemies. You need to forgive your enemies. Well, if your enemies hurt you pretty severely, they left a wound in you, that can be very difficult. So that wound needs to be attended to through the operation of the Holy Spirit, naming it, naming the, you know, recalling this situation. You name the wound that you're feeling, and then you ask in the name of Jesus to heal you, to cover you in his precious blood, and really avail yourself of the operation of the Holy Spirit. And believe it or not, going through that, sometimes depending on the circumstance, you might need to have a prayer partner there with you or whatever, someone experienced to help you. But for the most part, that actually, I have found that to be very helpful, even just on day-to-day hurts and upsetness, mm-hmm. to move into that place of forgiveness. Because to be a son or a daughter of God requires doing that which he told us to do. And one of them is, I'll tell you the two big ones, hindering people's progress. One is forgiveness, and that forgiveness is usually because of a deep wound. And the second one is fear. And I don't know when you will be seeing this recording, but we're, of course, in the midst of what I think of is a plandemic, a pseudo-pandemic, the blessed virus, and fear is running. It's running wild. Fear and forgiveness are contra to the operation of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, and I think people too also have we're such a Disneyfied culture now, unfortunately, that we have really lost, we've lost the understanding that forgiveness and love are both acts of the will. They don't reside in the emotion. And that a lot of people think that unless they feel like forgiving someone, unless they can, you know, they feel like they can love that person again, or that they can have good emotional ties towards this person, that they're not able to forgive them. And I think that that's a false trap that we put upon ourselves. We know from St. Thomas Aquinas that grace can only build on man's nature, which means that if you live in bondage and you refuse to forgive, you will not make that ascent of the will, then you're trapped in your own anger. And, you know, the day that you forgive someone is not the day that good emotions start. That is the day that you plant the seed that is going to grow. And it may take years and years of watering and pruning and prayer and sunshine and whatever, rain, storms, pain, agony, whatever, all of those things that are necessary to bear, for a plant to bear fruit. But forgiveness is not the fruit. Forgiveness is the seed. And I think a lot of people lock themselves into an unwillingness to forgive because they don't feel like forgiving. We've become a highly emotional people. I do what I feel like doing. Well, you know what? I don't feel like making dinner for my kids, you know, every single night of the week, every day of the month, every day of the year. But I do it. Some days I do it with great love and with great zest and with great charity and joy in my heart. And other days I do it begrudgingly. But at the end of the year, they've been fed 365 times. And I think that we really must move away from this hyper-emotionalism, which is bonding. It's really a bondage to us because we think that we must feel. But really, no, what we must do is will.
That's right. I liked your imagery of garden. It's almost like I've heard of Garden of Graces somewhere.
Maybe. Yeah, exactly.
It's true.
Yeah, I hope that that is one thing that the people need to recognize is that forgiveness is not the fruit. Forgiveness is the seed. Mm-hmm. You know, and it will grow. Forgiveness always grows beautiful flowers. I've never yet heard anyone who has forgiven someone that did not over time have blossoms of joy in their life as a result of that forgiveness. I mean, one of the great stories is Maria Goretti, right? I mean, murdered horrifically, and yet her mother forgave because Maria Goretti forgave. And there she was, what, 20 years, 40 years later, whenever it was that Maria Goretti was being canonized or beatified, and there was her murderer in the pew beside her, praying. I mean, how much more profoundly beautiful was the seed that was planted of forgiveness, you know, the seed that Maria Goretti planted in her mother's heart, right, before she died, how profound that is.
That's correct. All right, my friends, I keep promising to get to the Sacred Heart, and here we are at the next episode. So till the next time, be nice at Rocio.